Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 203. Let's go to the other side, conquering the storm. Guest minister Colleen Doyle delivered this message on Friday, July 16th, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right. Well, it's our great pleasure to have Colleen Doyle with us. She's traveled around the world, ministering the gospel in some places that maybe you don't want to go to, that she loves to go to. And maybe she'll tell us some stories tonight about those. I hope so, because we always love to hear the stories of the great things that God does in places that we haven't been to yet, and how God uses that to minister to people and uses her in the ministry. So we welcome you, Colleen, tonight. Just take your time and take your liberty and lay hands on everything that moves. In Jesus' name.
That is liberty, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Bless you all. Thank you so much, Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen, for your amazing, gracious, awesome welcome and just gathering me in as family. It's good to be here. And Facebook, if you're planning to come, you'd better make sure you get here, because we are going to have some amazing times. Can I announce Sunday night as a healing meeting, Pastor Harley? So on Sunday night, bring all the people that you know that are sick. Anyone that's sick in their body, sick in their minds, and anybody that needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, bring them Sunday night. And we're going to have a healing meeting and believe God for miracles, healing miracles, miracles of deliverance, miracles of pain just leaving, because that's what Jesus does. And so if you are listening and you're on Facebook or YouTube, you get here Sunday night so we can lay hands on you and see the name of Jesus heal you. Amen. And we're excited about that. So I want to bring you greetings from my church, which is Living Waters Christian Center in Christchurch, New Zealand. My city is the city with the best name of any city on earth, Christchurch. They say Christchurch, but I say Christchurch. It is the name of Christ. And I have prayed for many years that my city will be its name. And we are seeing incredible things starting to happen in Christchurch now. So if you ever think of my city, lift us up before the Lord, because God has got a great plan. The city was devastated by a huge earthquake in 2011. Almost 200 people died in the earthquake, and probably every building in the city was damaged to some degree, either totally demolished or so badly damaged it had to be demolished. The house that I owned at that time, I sold about 16 months ago. It was on its third round of repairs because the ground just kept sinking and sinking and sinking. And so it's been a city that the enemy has tried to destroy, but God has got a plan for Christchurch, New Zealand. Amen. Amen. Now, Mr. Soundman down there, that's you. Your name is Santos. Yes, I met you in the kitchen before. Santos, as we were worshiping, I felt like God said to me that he's about to pour out on you something new and special. And we all have the ministry of reconciliation, but I believe he's going to give you opportunities to bring reconciliation between some of your countrymen and the nation that has adopted them. I think you know people who live here and they're enjoying the benefits of the United States, but there's something in them where they're really unsettled and not happy and aggrieved and aggressive in their lives towards the American culture. And I believe God is going to take you and put you in positions and use you to bring reconciliation between them and the culture that God has blessed them to be in. So, Father, I pray a fresh anointing for Santos. Lord, that he would know the place and the time and the people and the words and have incredible wisdom. And I impart that spirit of reconciliation nation to him, national reconciliation between one nation's people and another, that they would become one, even as Jesus, you and the Father are one, in Jesus' name. Amen. Does that mean something to you, Santos? Yes. Hallelujah. Si. Is Spanish your native language? Yes. Si. Okay. Now, my friend down here, who blew the shofar, Don, you know, before you blew the shofar and before I really heard what your name was, I felt like God wanted to say something to a Don, and there you are. You just turn up. And Don, there's a spunk. Do you know what that word is? It's like, I can do this in you. And a pushing through. And you know, your wife said about your deliverance, so this is natural knowledge. So don't. But the spunk that you used in the past that harmed you, Jesus has actually put that in you, and there's a fresh day that you're going to be more spunky and more determined and more powerful than you've ever been. And if you've had a sense that what drove your life then is like, never ever look at that again. I believe God wants you to look at that quality that he put in your life, and he's going to actually reinvigorate it again, and he's going to give you creative ideas, and he's going to give you strength and victory as you are now looking to Jesus Christ, and you are a powerful man of God. The way that you blow the shofar, it's like the presence of God just comes, just like that. And there's a new measure of pushing through, a new measure of power that is about to come on your life in Jesus' name. Can I go over here and pray for him? Will I be in the frame? In Jesus' name. Stay there, Don. Is that good, Don? Is that good? The bad part of old things are passed away, but the good part of that spunk is here in even greater measure than ever before. Amen. Father, this man of God, Jesus, I impart that fresh strength, that fresh measure of spunkiness in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I impart and speak life to the word you just spoke to him about overcoming and victory and something new and fresh to push through. I impart it to him now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let it come forth. Let him be blessed. Let his marriage be blessed. Let his family, let his church family, and all that know him be blessed and see, God, that you are doing something fresh. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share some words tonight. And I want to say, you're not going to sink no matter what the storm is. And you, Miss Preacher Lady, your name again? It's Miss Sarah. Sarah, you talked about what have you got your eyes on? And I thought, she'd been reading my notes. Friends, you're not going to sink. And if you have never been through a storm, welcome to your future, because you will face one or some. And what we do in the storm depicts and our destiny depends on what we do when the storm hits us. And so let's look at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 39, if you've got your Bibles. And we're going to read this passage. It's a very familiar passage, but I think God wants to say something to us out of it tonight that we can take home and not only encourage ourselves with, but encourage others with it. You know, when you hear the word of God, it is for you, but it's actually seed in you to spread to others as well. And if you're a preacher and you want to use this message again, help yourself. There's nothing that is exclusive to me in Jesus' name. So Mark chapter 4, 35 to 39. So in the evening, Jesus said to to the disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And when they had sent the crowd away, they took him with them because he was in the boat. And there were also other little boats with him. And there arose a great windstorm, and the waves beat onto and into the boat so that it was full. I'd be a bit scared at this stage in a storm with a boat full of water. Boats are supposed to float, not sink. And he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a headrest. So they awakened Jesus and they said to him, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Well, actually, if they were going to perish, so was he. But they said, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" And he woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Whew, relief. They would have been sweating. So Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." And whenever we face a new territory or a new frontier, those are the words that are coming from heaven. Come on, let's go to the other side. And Jesus didn't just send the disciples on their own. He said, "Let us go together." But somehow or other, they forgot about him in the boat. And remember, if God is taking you on to a new frontier or a new territory, he's saying, "Let us go to do that thing." You're not going alone. You're going with his presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. But any journey into something new can be quite challenging. Can anybody say amen? Amen. It can be challenging spiritually. It can be challenging emotionally and physically, and incredibly demanding. So why are we surprised when we come up against a storm? Huh? Because it's going to be powerful on the other side. And we have an enemy who doesn't want us to get there. So Jesus extends the kingdom by extending our hearts. He extends the kingdom into our families and through consequences and community. But in extending us, it often involves a struggle. Has anyone ever had a struggle when you've been going to move into something fresh? Yeah, that's a storm. I've started a couple of different businesses, and it's a struggle to get going. But when they do, I know I've been in the storm, and I know that I've had to call on the name of Jesus to help me through that. But we see through Scripture that frontiers are often guarded by difficulties. New frontiers are often guarded by difficult situations that the enemy puts there so that we give up and we never ever reach that new level. It can be confusion. It can be enemy resistance. And it can be circumstances. But if God has said to you, my friends, "Let us go to the other side," what's his intention? That we get there. Whatever it happens to be. You know, often there's situations that happen in churches where God is moving the leaders into a new level. And I believe for your church that God is actually moving you into a new level. And the difficulties that you have experienced are a storm, but God has said, "We are going to the other side." And on that other side, there is fresh revelation. There is fresh power. There are new people. There is greater reach into the community. Amen. You are not going to sink. You're not even going to get very wet. Except if you go through the waters of baptism. And if any of you have not been baptized, Sunday night is your night. Oh, Saturday night. Excuse me. Saturday night. Don't rock up on Sunday night with your swimming gear. We'll take you and baptize you anyway. And if you're on Facebook and I don't care and the pastors don't care what church you go to, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, into the name of Jesus, not into a church, but into the name of Jesus. You can just come, bring your gear. We'll talk to you about baptism, and then you will go through the waters of baptism and come up that new creation. Is that okay to advertise your baptism service, Pastor? I just did. Hallelujah. See, God often speaks a promise over your life, over your church, over your community. And then for however long a period of time, and it can be a long time, there's opposite. Man, it gets old. It gets hard. But if Jesus has said, and the Lord has said to you in any situation, let's go to the other side. We're going together and you're going to get there through whatever situation comes. But the fight time is the hard time. It's the fight time to see the purposes of God established in what he said he wants to do in you, through you, around you, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your workplace, wherever. And as we keep our eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we keep on fighting and we keep on believing and we keep on trusting, he will take you to the other side. Keep fighting. Keep the word fresh, what he has said. Write it down. Remind yourself. Rehearse it over and over again. Keep believing and keep your eyes on Jesus, because he's the one that's going to get you there. And we are not exclusive to this sort of thing. Read your Bible and see what happened to Joseph. Joseph knew God was going to use him to do great things, and he ended up being a slave. Well, he ended up in a pit first, where his brothers tried to kill him. And then he ended up being a slave. Then he ended up in jail. He ended up getting accused of trying to rape the king's wife. He had quite a storm before that day came when he interpreted the dream and he got put in charge of the palace. David, he was born to be a king, but he ended up a fugitive first. And Saul was after him. He was going to take his head off. And what about the people of God who were who were told they would go to the promised land? Years and years and years and years and years to reach it. A lot of that their own fault. But they sure had a storm on their way to the promised land. And when God wants to grow an area in our hearts and lives, when God wants to establish something fresh in us, maybe in you feel like he's going to develop a new gift. Well, I know what'll happen. You'll get thoughts in your head that go, I couldn't do that. I'm not good enough. I don't even know how to do it. What say it doesn't work? The storm will rage. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if he has said he wants you to prophesy and be a prophet, or he wants you to continually lay hands on the sick and he's going to heal them, whatever level and whatever thing he's taking you into, the storm may come. Jesus said, go. We are going to the other side. Let's go. Let's go to the other side. Endure the storm and let's get there. And you know, this happens to individuals, it happens to families, it happens to churches, and maybe something in your workplace. You're going to get fresh responsibilities in your job. Well, expect other people possibly to hate that in the form of a storm. And the storm can come in the form of doubt and unbelief from within. It can come in the form of uncertainty. It can come in the form of things not going the way you expect. It can come in the form of criticism from others, financial difficulties, and the I cannot find my way through this to do it as part of the uncertainty. But let me say, God is in control of the storm. Jesus was in control of the storm that the disciples found themselves in. God's in control of your storm. That's worth a hallelujah. Yeah. He is, because he said, we're going to the other side. We're going to get there. And you see, we find it easy to believe when things are going well. Life's cruisy, you know. Yeah, things are good, and yes, but that is when we're on an equilibrium and nothing is getting shaken or rattled. It's good, it's easy then. But God said, other side. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, for the disciples and for you. Do you say? Do you know a song that part of it is, the wind and the waves still know his name? By the way, I love the songs you sung tonight. There are the songs, those and others, I've got on my playlist that I've been playing for the multiple hours I've been driving in the car in the United States in the last month. Those are today's songs. Do you sing a song about the goodness of God? All my life you have been faithful. Oh my, I have sung that until I'm hoarse in the car. I'm not a great singer, but God says, make a joyful noise and flip, I have. Very interesting. If a storm would keep you from your destiny, God would not allow it. If a storm would keep you from fulfilling the destiny and what Jesus, what God has said to you, let's go and do it, he wouldn't allow it. And you know, we are strengthened in the storm. We are strengthened in the storm. I've been through some massive, massive storms in my life. And in the middle of the storm, I thought, use this for your glory. Make me stronger. Make me more powerful for you. And I'm seeing the outworking of that today, right now. But it takes faith to believe that we will get to the other side when the wind and the waves and the opposition is buffeting us. But know that when the storm finishes, you will be in the right place. We see Paul, and I'm just going to go through a few of the things that Paul experienced when God said to him, I want you to go to Rome. In Acts 23:11, the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer. For as you've testified of me in Jerusalem, so now you must go and bear witness in Rome. Be of good cheer. Well, Paul's in jail at this point. Be of good cheer. You're in jail. What? Go to Rome, here I am in jail. And the jails of those days were not like our cushy jails of today. They were shackled. They were hardly fed. It was filthy. And they were crowded in small cells together. Go to Rome, God, you've got to be joking. What? How am I going to do that? And when am I going to get there? Because a prison sentence in those days had no end date, not like today. This is Paul's other side. God said, Paul, we're going to the other side. So he had a very interesting and exciting experience between that invitation from God or command until he got to Rome. The first thing that happened was there was a plot to kill him by the guards. And 40 men fasted and they said, we will not eat or drink until we kill this man. Right. Well, that was pretty serious. They obviously would have wanted it to happen fairly quickly because they would have got hungry and thirsty quite fast. Didn't happen. The storm was starting to rage. He was taken to court and the judge adjudicated and said, you're a troublemaker. And even the Jews were against Paul. The Sanhedrin were. The Pharisees and Sadducees were. And there's a dialogue that goes on about accusing him from Acts 23:11 right through to the end of chapter 24. There we see plans to ambush Paul and kill him, but they didn't work. And Festus says, well, you applied to, you appealed to Caesar, because he said, well, you can't try me here. I'm a Roman. Caesar should try me. And Festus said, all right, then we'll take you to Caesar. He can try you and see. And to Caesar you will go, it says in Acts 25:11. Caesar was in Rome. Hi, how about that? He's on his way to Rome. Through this incredible storm of accusation and difficulty and heartache and threats to kill him, God is working. He's getting him on his way to Rome. But the story doesn't end there. He's getting him into a position that God said he needed to go to. So we see in Acts 27 that he gets put on a ship with other prisoners. And it was driven along in the storm. So a physical storm came, and the boat had no way of withstanding the storm, and the ship was driven along in the storm. It was so bad that they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. It took a violent battering. It was so violent that they threw the cargo overboard. That's pretty serious. Then they threw the tackle overboard. That's getting more serious. They needed the tackle to help steer the ship. And they gave up all hope of being saved and went a long time, at least 2 weeks, without any food. This ship should never have gone to sea in that season. It was a season that was known to have violent storms in that area. And yet God allowed Paul to be on it, in it, in the storm, because he had said, we're going to Rome. And he was going to get there. And we see that in the middle of the storm, that Paul, a prisoner, took charge. He was hearing from God, because God was obviously interested in the whole ship getting there and Paul not drowning on the way. He started to take charge. He intercepted a group that were trying to get off the boat into a lifeboat in the storm. And even in that storm, where he would have been thoroughly seasick, spewing everywhere, imagine the ship. Not only him, every person on the ship spewing. It would have been revolting. That's tossing and turning and they're being thrown around. Thinking they're going to sink, they've thrown over the tackle and they've thrown out the cargo, and there's bodily fluids all over the place. Paul took charge and he saved a group that were going to get off the ship into a lifeboat who would have surely perished. Even in the storm, and it was so revolting, he cared about others. He stood up in his position as a leader. And you know, what the enemy wants to do in our storm is have us be so concerned about ourselves that we can't look and we can't be anything to anybody else. But what an incredible testimony to those others on the ship, the soldiers and the other prisoners who were the passengers as well, that here's this man. Even in our awful predicament, he's actually doing something to help. When the storm comes, do something to help others. I have a boy that is disabled. And when he was young, he's physically disabled. When he was young, he had lots and lots of trips to hospital. And it just wrecked my heart. It was so difficult. There's my boy going back to hospital, more surgery or more treatment or more something or other. And I found at that time, one of the things that helped me through was actually reaching out to others. I desperately wanted people to reach out to me, and some did. But it actually helped my heart more when I reached out to other people. And so it's a real key in a storm to reach out to others and be a blessing to other people when you're going through your own personal storms. God had said to Paul, go. And whatever God says to you, to go and do, regardless of what's going on around you. You could be diverted in a dozen different ways. Go and do it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the destiny maker. He's the one that will calm the storm. But often we have to go through it. So finally, Paul and the sailors and the soldiers took the sails down and let the wind blow the ship. And you know, at some point, you've done it all. There's not another thing you can do. At some point, take down the sails and let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow you to your destination. You've done it all. You've tried every which way. You've tried man's ways. You've tried begging God. You've tried to jump in the lifeboat. Actually, and this is a word for a couple of people, take down the sails and let the Holy Spirit blow you to the destination. You see, he won't take you where you cannot be sustained. He will not take you to a place that he hasn't said to go to. So the drama for Paul continues. The ship ran aground, and the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners. But there was a centurion on that ship that didn't want Paul to die, so he averted that. And hooray, in Acts 28, they make land. They run aground. They saw an island, and so they turned the ship into it, and the wind drove them onto a sandbank. The ones that could swim were allowed to swim, and the ones that couldn't got pieces of wood, and they floated in. This is the island of Malta, just on the end of Italy, I think. Anyway, it's there, somewhere in the sea. It's an island in the sea. It's not one I've been to. And so, you know the story that the islanders made them welcome and they built a fire, and then Paul puts his hand to put something in the fire, and a darn snake comes out of the fire and attaches itself to his hand. Wouldn't you think he'd had enough? And now a snake comes and bites him. And they all expect him to swell up and die, and he just shakes the snake off into the fire. Barbecue. Barbecued snake. And he didn't die. So the people are looking at him, thinking he's some sort of god. Paul's on his way to Rome. God's using him on the way. And so they bring somebody out from the village that's sick, and he prays for them, and God heals them. So now they bring everyone that's sick from the village, and they're all healed. So we have a healing meeting on the beach. My goodness. Even in your storm, even in when unexpected things happen, even when life just turns totally upside down for you, God can use you. Just because you're in pain physically or emotionally, or your family's messed up, or you're in financial trouble, or you're ill, it doesn't mean God can't and won't use you. He wants to. What a testimony to the people on that island. Paul wasn't sitting there in a sorry mess being sorry for himself. He actually did something to help people. There's a bit of a general feeling. If I've got a physical problem, I couldn't pray for anyone and Jesus heal them because he hasn't healed me. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. I see people healed all the time. I had a double knee replacement at the end of last year because my knees were worn out. But while I was waiting for that, I was still praying for people and God's still doing miracles. Just because I wasn't healed by him, but healed by surgery, Didn't stop me. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Lay hands on the sick and Jesus will heal them. Amen. Amen. All right. So they sailed away again. More ports, more storms. And Acts 28, 16, we went to Rome. We started the story in Acts 23, 4, 5, 6, 5 chapters of a storm. My goodness. I don't wish that on you or myself. The enemy had a really good go to stop Paul getting to Rome. But God fulfilled what he said before the storm struck. What's God said to you? What have you got sitting on a shelf somewhere in the back shelf of your brain that God has said, and life has just turned into a storm, there's been opposition, things have happened, circumstances haven't worked out, and you thought, oh, whatever. If God said, we're going to the other side to you, you're going. Whether you put it off or whatever, his intention is to take you into that new thing, to take you over the horizon, into your new territory, into your new experience, into your new giftings, into your new business, into your new relationships. If God has said, his plan is that he takes us there. You see, the storm's not a surprise to God. The storm wasn't a surprise to Jesus when he was sitting in the boat with the disciples and they were absolutely panicking. He wasn't surprised. And he's not surprised about your storm either. But he's in it with you. He's there with you. You see, we have to take down the sails sometimes and relinquish our control. The disciples had no control over anything. And they had the sense to cry out to Jesus. They were a bit stupid when they said, don't you care? But they had the sense to wake him up and say, we're in trouble. Allow God to get you there, even though the storm is raging around. Trust him. And we still need to do what we know to do. We need to do what we know to do. We need to pray. We need to preach. We need to pray for the sick. We need to encourage others. We need to take charge if there's something needs taking charge of. We need to care for others, just like Paul is an amazing example of how to actually operate when the storm is raging. Don't sit down and die, my friends. Don't jump overboard. You surely will drown if you jump overboard in the storm. God said to you, let us go to the other side, and he will get you there. You never dreamed you'd have such a storm. I never dreamed I'd have such storms in my life. Whether it be for you a marital storm or a financial one or a health one or a relationship one or a work one. Who knows what's around the corner? But I know who's around the corner. It's my God who never changes. It's my God who is always there. It's my God, the faithful and true one, always. Storm or no storm, let us go to the other side. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. And verse 14 says, stand firm. For Paul, the enemy meant it for harm. But God used that storm for advantage because those people got healed on that island. The storm is going to move you forward. Paul's boat was moved forward in that storm. And as we throw out of our lives the things we don't need in the storm, maybe things you thought you could never do without. And somebody that's on Facebook that's listening to this, there's a relationship that you think you could never live without. But I believe God is saying to you tonight, that is part of the tackle that Paul threw out of the boat. That everybody would have said, you cannot carry on this journey without that. There's a relationship that you have that you need to separate yourself from. And where you've tried to go in God and you haven't been able to, that encumbrance, when it is gone, will actually be out of the way and you can go forward into what God has got for you. And you know it's significant. And others have told you it's significant. And people have said to you, that person is actually hindering what God wants in your life. So a stranger is saying to you tonight, let it go in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, the boys that were chucked in the fire, they went through a bit of a storm. And you see, they... a hot storm. Yeah, the others had a wet storm. He had a hot storm. There was a fourth man in the fire. Yeah. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And the interesting thing was, they came out of that. Not one hair on their head was singed, and not one bit of smoke on their clothes. But something did get consumed in that fire. The bindings that held them. The storm can actually burn off you the things that hold you down and hold you back. Burnt the cords. You see, God knows how to burn up what is holding you back. He knows what you need. And he will never allow you to be tested beyond what you can endure. But don't be surprised when a storm comes along. Don't be surprised if a legal battle rises up in your face. Relationship problems, financial, health. If God said, we're going to the other side, he will get you there regardless of the storm. You will not be harmed. Along the way, you will be able to help people. Along the way, you will toss some things off your life that you don't need. And he's going to burn off the limitations. Genuine faith will emerge. Genuine withstanding for the future, and a strength to push on and to bore through anything will be put into your life. You will be more powerful. You will be more sure of the direction of God. You will be more attuned to his voice. You'll be more resilient against the next storm. You'll be more open-hearted and able to help others as they go through their storm. God does not waste anything. And what the enemy meant to harm you, God will use it for good, because he's taking you to the other side. He's taking you into that new ministry. He's taking you into that new depth and revelation. He's taking you into a fresh degree of prayer life. He's taking you into depths in your relationships with those that you love and love you. He's taking you into more fruitfulness in the kingdom. God does not waste anything. Church, he's taking you into greater days of power. He's taking you into greater days of influence in your community. He's taking you into times when this place will be so full you'll have to put more chairs in. God does not waste anything. In Jesus' name. So it's time to shake off discouragement, my friends. It's time to shake off negativity. It's time to get the blinkers off and see Jesus in the boat in your storm. It's time to stop accepting criticism from others. And I want to say your test is about to become your testimony. Your test is about to become your testimony. In a storm, the winds rage. Do you know the best and the best and the most noted birds need a storm to fly the highest. Your eagle, that is your symbol of your nation, needs storms to fly high. Turkeys don't need storms, but eagles do. That's who you are. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if there's anyone here tonight and you have struggled and the storm has almost overwhelmed you and you've been at the point where you're going, I can't do this anymore, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to calm the storm, but I'm going to pray for you for resilience. I'm going to pray for you that your eyes see Jesus in the storm. I'm going to pray for you that you'll be one that would reach out in your own storm and see others blessed and encouraged. And I'm going to pray that you will hear again those words, let us go to the other side. Is there anyone here tonight who would like prayer along those lines?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.